Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
You're back here with us on another edition of the Financial Flight Plan podcast with the team from Estes Financial Services. Tim Estes and Bree Reyes are investor coaches and certified financial planners serving you here in the Metroplex area from their office in Fort Worth. I'm guest host here on the podcast, Mark Killian, alongside with Bree as we're talking about the world of investing, finance, and retirement. And as always, let me remind you as we kick things off, if you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, please do so and check out past and future episodes, whether it's iTunes or Google or Stitcher or whatever your podcasting platform of choice is. And you can find it at their website, which is estesfinancial.net. That's estesfinancial.net. You can also check them out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn as well. And Ms. Bree, welcome in, dear. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate sitting in with you for another podcast episode. And we got a really good show lined up here for you. Got some interesting things to talk about. Here in a few minutes, I want to kind of jump into our main topic, which is really five simple retirement questions that maybe aren't so simple. They're a little harder to answer. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But before we do, let's take an email question that has come into the website from some of our podcast listeners. We got one from Michelle. She's there in the backyard in Fort Worth. And I thought you were going to really enjoy this. So I found this one and I wanted to toss this out at you. Michelle says, Bree, I am in love and I've been proposed to, but I have not said yes yet. Here's what's going on. Ooh. Yeah. She says, this is going to be a second marriage for both of us and everything is really great, but there's one big issue that's concerning me. My potential husband has over $100,000 in debt. It's a mix of different, she says it's a mix of different things like a car loan, credit cards, and also school debt from his child from a previous marriage. Is it unwise, she wants to know, to marry in these circumstances? And have you come across something like this? And if so, how do you advise clients who may be getting into a situation that's similar?
Wow. Okay, Michelle. Well, congratulations. I'm glad that you're in love. It's a wonderful place to be.
Sure.
You haven't said yes yet to a proposal. I like the fact that you're taking your time and thinking about things and you didn't just immediately jump and scream and stuff, especially on a second marriage. We're seeing in more and more second marriages, clients coming in that mm-hmm. have blended families. My parents, it's a second marriage for each of them. And so it's something we're very, very familiar with. Personal story here. When Joaquin and I got married, he had just finished graduate school. So our debt situation was a little bit similar to yours. No kids from a previous marriage or anything, but school debt, definitely. And we had car loans? No, we didn't have car loans back then. So I understand. I'm trying to remember because it feels like yesterday, but we've been together a while now. But when we first got together, he had some debt on his side, more so than I had on mine. That's for sure. And it made me pause, too. But the big thing is we talked about it. We talked about what his debt was, how he was paying it off, what our credit scores were. And let me tell you, this is the least fun wedding planning conversation you're going to have.
I think it's important that they have had this conversation as well. So they've got that going for them, right? And it's wise of her to be thinking about it. And I think that you bring up a good point. Have they maybe discussed, Michelle, have you guys maybe discussed what is his plan to reduce some of that debt? Is there a plan moving forward?
Is he paying it?
Yeah.
I've had girlfriends come to me later on with my boyfriend's got a lot of debt and he's paying it. And then they get married and then they do a credit check of each other for whatever reason, buying a house or something. And then, his credit score's in the 400s because apparently he hasn't been paying it. So that's always good to know the other person's credit score. It's kind of a personal thing. I get it. It's not something you ask on the first date.
Right. It's not romantic, but it is practical, right?
It is. It's practical. But you want to make sure that, do we have a plan for this debt? If we have a plan for this debt, then... And you feel comfortable and you know that you guys can work on it together, then I'm not going to be the one to say, please don't get married.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a caveat there. She's asking for marital advice. I'm like, that's kind of tough to ask somebody that, right?
I am not your therapist. I'm not a licensed or qualified therapist, nor should I be. I can just tell you from my personal experience and the personal experience of our clients what I think, right, which are my own opinions, not necessarily reflective of those of Estes Financial Services. I know because Dad listens to these. So everybody knows that Tim and I are father-daughter. Tim Estes and I are father-daughter. And so I know that he's going to come back with notes. But... so I'm not going to be the one telling you not to get married, that's for sure. But I think it would be wise to have the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that Joaquin and I did, and this is just my personal experience, is we refinanced his student loans.
Yeah. Yeah, and we don't... Oh, I'm sorry, Brie, go ahead.
He's always been paying them on time. He's actually always been paying more than the minimum required amount. But once we refinanced those student loans and we saw that, okay, they're going to be gone in, 5 years from refinance, I think? And now probably two. Yay, honey, school's going to be paid off soon. It helped us.
Yeah.
It helped me feel more comfortable because we had a plan. And it helped him feel a little bit more comfortable because he knew I was on his side. I was with him in it. I understood that that was, you know, life happens. We all come into marriages with baggage and situations. Emotional baggage, maybe. Physical baggage, maybe. Debt. Actual baggage, the big, you know, giant lounge chair that's
your collection of ugly art or whatever it might be. Yeah.
Oh, well, we had a Barca lounger that we still own. And you know what? I love it. Yeah, I love it. But okay. I hated it when it first walked into my house. So, you know, you come into relationships with stuff. Nobody's spotless. And you can't not move forward because somebody might have a blimp on their record. As long as they're being proactive and being responsible adults, I don't see why not.
Yeah.
But definitely have these conversations.
I think it's
and
a really good
question.
If you need
a third party to sit down with you, I highly recommend marriage counseling, premarital counseling, marriage counseling, and getting a financial planner. A lot of what we do is sitting with couples and helping them get on the same page sometimes. That's why we're financial coaches.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, we don't know Michelle's age. She didn't put that in there. She said second marriage. We don't know if, you know, she's in her 30s, 40s, 50s. You know, people are getting married, second marriages much later in life as well. So, yeah, definitely sitting down with a couple of different people and having these conversations together will certainly be a good idea. And a financial planner, you know, may really help you because budgeting may come into play really well with this. And that's something that obviously Tim and Bree could help you out with as well. So great question. We appreciate you that you're listening to the podcast. Take
and
it a step further.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
If you want to, say yes. Don't leave this poor gentleman hanging.
Or at least get in and talk to a couple people quickly so you can give him an answer.
Yes,
that might
then
help.
You can say yes.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for the question and good luck. And of course, if you need some help, please reach out and talk to a qualified professional. Bree's here, 817-444-8402. 817-444-8402. All right, Bree, let's turn our attention to our topic this week here on the show. And that's five simple retirement questions that maybe aren't so simple. They're a little harder to answer. You know, these are some basic ones, but it's not always just a yes or no, because it can get a little tricky. Every situation's different. So I'm just going to kind of give you these and let you kind of expound on some things for us to think about in case we, you know, run into this situation, which we're all going to at some point. We actually kind of had a similar question the last time I was with you on your podcast from an email question. Was she was asking about when to take her Social Security. She was thinking about waiting until full at 66. She said she was 60. So that's a number one really big question for a lot of people that's not so easy to answer. When do I turn it on?
This is such a complex question because there's a lot of different things to take into account. You want to look at your longevity and how healthy you are. Mm-hmm. You want to look at the penalty for taking it early or how much you might gain by waiting to full retirement age or heck 70. Then do you need it? If you need it, you're going to have to take it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain circumstances where you have to take it, whether you want to or not. And you got to look at how taking it's going to affect your taxes. So there's quite a few different, it's not a yes or a no question, which I love. We get calls every day from people who think that these questions are just yes or no's. And I wish, I really, some days I wish.
The yes or no might be, do you want to take Social Security? Yes. Okay. But when? Well, that's a whole different conversation.
Or am I going, is Social Security going to be available to me? Maybe.
Depending on your age.
That's the answer I give a lot nowadays, too. So I would recommend sitting down with somebody, looking at your budget, looking at what you have coming in for inflows, looking at your investments, and seeing if you need to take it early.
Yeah. Okay. So if our number one question there is deciding when to take it, that's, again, not such a simple answer. It's not yes or no. Another place might be talking about a truly diversified portfolio. You know, people say, okay, I'm pretty sure I'm diversified because I have X number of mutual funds. Well, it's not always just a yes or no. You may not be diversified because just having a collection of mutual funds does not cover that.
No, it does not. In a few years ago, I had someone come in my office who had four different mutual funds, same mutual fund company, and they all had different names. I'm not going to call out the mutual fund company because that's not right. But, you know, they had a large cap and they had a small cap and they had an international and they had a bond fund. Large cap, small cap, international bond fund. Yeah, that was it. Those were the four. What they didn't realize is that every one of those mutual funds were virtually invested in the same stocks underneath the fund.
Right.
So even though it might say international, it might own the same company as the U.S. large. Why? Because, well, style drift. It happens with all mutual funds. It's one of my biggest complaints about mutual funds is what I'm talking about now, which is overlap. They all own the same things. So yeah, even though
you end up with four versions of Coke, right?
Or
Microsoft or whatever.
Yes, exactly. And the company I'm thinking about was Microsoft. So they all owned Microsoft in it, which was fine as long as Microsoft was having a great day.
Right.
But, you know, what was the Microsoft iPod? The Zoom?
Oh, yeah, the Zoom. Yeah.
Microsoft has, you know, every company has its good products and its bad products. And so when, let's say, picking on Microsoft right now for a second, but let's say they had a bad day, that bad day, dependent upon how much of the weight it was in each one of those funds, we're going to take all four funds down.
Yep.
So they couldn't understand why in 2008, their bond fund did just as poorly as their stock fund.
Yeah, they're not diversified. They think they are, but they're not.
They thought they were.
Yeah.
And so this is part of what when we do a financial plan for someone, we do an overlap report. We look at what you currently have to see not only how much risk you're taking on, because most people don't know how much risk they're taking on, and how much return you've actually gotten, but how diversified are you really? How much overlap do those funds have in them?
And I think that's where a lot of people wind up struggling because we just don't know, right? A lot of lay folks, like common folks, that I interview a lot of financial advisors, but I'm not one myself. And so I've learned a lot, but I think a lot of people wind up going, well, I have this, 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 and this. I have a collection of things, so that should have me covered, which kind of like in our third one here, our third simple question, it's not so simple, is picking these funds in our 401ks. To your point, you know, we sometimes do like a target date or something like that because we think that's going to get us covered. And it's useful, but if you're not careful, you end up with a lot of the collection of, and a lot of times, Bree, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of times it's large caps that a lot of people get stuck into the same thing, right?
People love large cap for reasons that I do not quite understand. Someone, if anybody wants to call in and tell me exactly why you're obsessed with large cap, I would love to hear it.
It might be because we don't know. Maybe we just, that's what we kind of like gravitate towards because it's what we hear, maybe.
Yeah, and that's probably it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have large cap in your portfolio by any stretch of the imagination. I get large cap. I like large cap. I like large cap value. I like large cap growth. But America's obsession with large cap US is just kind of beyond my scope. And so, yeah, a lot of times when it comes to 401ks, we will pick the target date or you'll pick the balanced portfolio and you think you're good there, but you don't know how much risk is in that target date or how conservative it can get as you get closer to retirement or if it's really where you need to be. This is another part of the financial plan that we do here. It's a new service we're rolling out where we start taking a look at your 401k and help you allocate that as well. Because we want to make sure what we're doing with your investments on the outside matches what you're doing with your investments on the inside. So we're not doing the wrong thing or causing you to have too much risk than you really, really need. And so it's not as simple as, hey, if you're a federal employee, it is as simple as, here are my five funds. What do I do with them?
Right.
Because they only have five. But, you know, there's ways to massage it. There's ways to develop the portfolio for you. And everybody's situation is different. My situation is different than Tim's situation in his office. What I'm comfortable with and my risk tolerance is different than even my husband's risk tolerance.
Oh, yeah. No, we say it all the time. Yeah, everybody's situation is truly different. We have commonalities, I guess, Bree, but every situation breaks out differently.
I think everybody's afraid of running out of money. That's probably the biggest commonality of just human beings.
Sure.
But outside of that, then how much risk am I willing to take? I am conservative compared to my husband.
Right.
My husband is not James on Jeopardy. He's not that bad. But if you guys are watching Jeopardy right now, you know who I'm talking about. James Holtower, who just throw it all in. He's great. He's wonderful TV, and Jeopardy's become a heck of a lot of fun to watch. But I sit there and have heart palpitations because I know how much that daily doubles were.
He's a little too risky for your taste is what I'm hearing, right?
He is
a little bit. Well, let's get back here with our five simple questions. We've covered three, some really good ones so far. Another one will stay in the 401k vein here, and that's doing the rollover. Now, a lot of times people just say, well, I want to go ahead and do a rollover, and the answer is not always just so cut and dried.
No. A lot of times doing a rollover is awesome because then you get to choose. It's not the five funds or however many funds you have in your 401k. You get a lot more investment options. But by doing a rollover, you also are, and you can take money out whenever you want, provided you're retired and you've rolled it over and you're over 59 and a half, then you avoid the penalty. Now, any money you take out after 59 and a half is still taxable income to you. So that's that. You know, you need to pay attention to that. Some people don't. And then tax time comes around and they are shocked because they've taken all this money out of their IRA and they didn't realize it was taxable income. I've seen that happen. The other thing I've seen happen is people want to do loans against your IRA, and you can't do that. It's not like a 401k where you can potentially, if your 401k allows it, do a loan through your 401k. You can't, it doesn't work that way. And so there's some pros and some cons to rollovers. Usually, in my opinion, the pros outweigh the cons, but everybody's case is their situation.
Well, most of these questions, you know, if you're trying to make them in a vacuum, you're going to find yourself in that situation where you are struggling. You know, and outside of having a comprehensive financial plan, a lot of times it's hard to really know which way to go with these. And that's why it's always important to talk with a qualified professional. We'll finish off here with our fifth question that's not, and this one's definitely one that I think is really hard to answer because, well, for me, at least from what I've seen, most people just avoid the question altogether because we're all human and no one wants to talk about addressing the fact and the cost of nursing home or long-term care, stays, help, whatever that is, because we're afraid of it.
Nobody likes, see, I'm probably the only person in America that's like, yes, I totally want to go to an assisted living facility. They cook for me. They have wine now. You've got bocce. I mean, what is everybody so afraid of now?
I think we have that old-fashioned feeling of nursing home. We feel like, you know, two people in a room laying there, no one's talking to them kind of thing.
When I was 30 and single, I was looking for a new apartment. It's before I bought my house. Well, no, I guess I was younger than 30 because it was before I bought my house. So I was probably 27. And I went and I accidentally looked at an assisted living facility thinking it was an apartment complex.
And you're like, this place is great.
I was like, this is great. I can come home. You guys have my meal ready for me. Right. There's a wine bar. I'm sold.
Right.
Sold.
Sign me up. And they were like,
they
you're
told
too
me
young,
I had to
dear.
Come back when I'm 50. Yeah. Yeah, they're like, you are not our target demographic. But it's a huge deal. And the cost of nursing homes and assisted living facilities are going up every year. And it's just going to get worse as baby boomers get older and need care because there's a giant number of baby boomers and there's not enough places for everybody. And as we're seeing in my own family, taking care of your loved ones can be really, really hard on the caregiver. So a lot of people don't want to do that to their kids, but they also don't want to talk about their future. So you're kind of leaving yourself in a bad position. So it's good to have the conversation. Take a look at how much a nursing home costs. Take a look at what you can do now to set yourself up for what you want. I am very, very appreciative that my mom and my dad, Tim, after Christopher Reeves got hurt, got really, really, he really looks up to Superman, really looked up to Christopher Reeves. And he saw the money struggle that once Christopher Reeves got hurt, that he went through. I mean, he went bankrupt and had to call his college roommate, who was Robin Williams, and ask for money. That's how bad financially they were. And Dad went out, and he was 40, I guess they were 40-ish, and got a Cadillac long-term care policy just so he and Mom would be fine. And honestly, as their child, it's something I'm really grateful for. You wouldn't think that you'd say that, but I really am, because that's some pressure that I know that would be put on me later on that they've taken off my plate.
Yeah, that's a great point. There's a lot of things too that go into it. These five simple questions aren't just so simple. And Bree, that kind of that shock and awe kit, that toolkit that you guys provide, it can help you kind of get started with some of these things. Give me a quick overview as to what's in that.
Okay, so quite a bit of stuff. And it's free, by the way. Just give our office a call and request it. You get our book, the Financial Flight Plan book, 7 Lessons to Save Your Retirement. And what we're saving your retirement from is, as I've referred to before, the ticking tax time bomb. Most people, most Americans have qualified money, meaning money in their 401k and their IRAs. And when they take that money out, like I said a little bit earlier, it's taxable income to them. And they're not ready for that. They don't have a plan for that. And so it's a really good, short, fun read that Dad and I and a good friend of ours, Dan Capril, put together. And I normally don't like those types of books, so I want to keep it fun and interesting for everybody. We also have a CD, which kind of talks about the ticking tax time bomb dilemma and what you can do. 2 reports, 5 risks that could destroy your retirement is the first one. And then we've got a tax special report all about taxes. Yay. And then an investor awareness guide. So the kit's valued at $97, but we send it out free, complimentary from our office. Just give us a call or respond to this podcast or shoot us an email on our website, estesfinancial.net. And we'll get one out to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's estesfinancial.net. If you go there, as soon as it pops up, the website, you'll see where you can click right on the podcast. It's a nice big window there. You can check out past and future episodes by subscribing. You can also get that toolkit sent to you. And of course, you can just call, as Bree mentioned, 817-444-8402 for that complimentary toolkit. Great way to kind of get started with some of these questions and some of the things that we talk about week in and week out here on the podcast. 817-444-8402, the number to call. And Bree, let's finish it up on a fun little note here. We got to get out of here for this go around on the podcast, but I wanted to toss something out a little fun to you, a little shake it up a little bit on our getting to know you. And if you could just trade places with somebody for one day, who might it be? Just one day.
Okay, so I'm choosing somebody living, because living or dead is a hard one for me. Right. There's too many dead people that I would love to trade places with. I am such a nerd. Chief Justice John Roberts.
Wow.
I would love to see the Supreme Court in action and know the back conversations that happen between the Supremes.
You are full of interesting things. I would not have saw that coming in a million years. Interesting.
I am such a political and legal nut. I'm fascinated by how, you know, they say 2 things that you should never see being made are laws and sausages. I want to see the laws. I don't care for the sausages. I want to see it.
Oh, wow.
I love how this country was formed and our government, and especially the Supreme Court. I think the Supreme Court is fascinating. So, yeah, I would want to be John Roberts for a day.
Or just for the day. So there you go. All right. Well,
yeah, just for the day. I don't want to be John Roberts forever. I just want to be the Chief Justice Supreme for the day.
For one day. There you go. Well, that's our getting to know you. That's our podcast this go around. Thanks again, Bree, for having me on the show. I believe Walter will be back with you next time here on the Financial Flight Plan podcast with Bree Reyes at Estes Financial Services. Don't forget, check us out online at estesfinancial.net. Subscribe to the show and on iTunes or Stitcher or Google, whatever is convenient for you. And Bree, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much. And everybody listening, go out and lead an abundant life.